It is Tuesday, October 30th, 2012, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, how the major parties in Arkansas do or do not screen potential candidates. A handful of Democrats and Republicans this year have created controversy on the way to Election Day. And an early music trio brings their basset horns to the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
And a conversation with Orrin Softy about the world premiere of his play Checks and Balances. That will take place in Rogers. I'm Kyle Kellums, and this is the next to last day of the on-air portion of the fall fundraiser for KUAF. A couple of numbers that can connect you to our phone volunteers and help you contribute now in the closing hours of this fundraiser. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also make a financial pledge of support online at support.KUAF.com. If you appreciate the news coverage, music, and entertainment that KUAF provides every day, please consider that we are able to do this because of your financial support. The sheer volume of newsworthy events happening in our world each day is staggering. Today, a shining example of that. Most radio stations only bring you the news from our nation or from hotspots around the world, but KUAF brings you news from around the world, from around the country, each and every day, as well as on Ozarks at Large, from down the street in the city next door. Our goal is to be international in scope, informative in content. Listeners provide a majority of the funding. The biggest part of our funding pie comes from you. So we would like to hear from you. If we haven't already, you can call us right now with your pledge. 575-5823, 800-522-5823. Thanks to Marianne and Tom Schaefer from Bentonville for their continued support of KUAF.
You can also support us online at supportkuaf.com. And we're going to launch another challenge.
I think it might be. The finale.
This might be our last one.
Yes.
All right. This challenge is from Charles Wilkins and Ingrid Fritsch of Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to both of you. The challenge is in the amount of $1,500. And it is for new members.
Okay. So, if you have been sitting on the fence, procrastinating, just unable to find the time to call for the first ever pledge, boy, here is a time when it can really make a big difference.
Absolutely. The way these work, we have to collect up to $1,500. Charles and Ingrid will match that, so this challenge will be worth $3,000 for us.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
That'll be fantastic. And again, to all of you potential procrastinators, tomorrow is the last day of the fundraiser. So
right.
If you're going to become a new member, now would be an excellent time because of the challenge. This very generous challenge from Charles and Ingrid of Fayetteville.
And because it's a $1,500 challenge to potential new contributors, this is a big tent challenge. If you can afford a big amount, you're welcome. If you can afford just a bit, you're welcome.
Absolutely.
All pledges, all contributions are welcome here. That's how we accumulate enough money to pay for All Things Considered, Talk of the Nation, Ozarks at Large, The Pick and Post, and Shades of Jazz, and all the other programs. We do it with all the pledges put together. We're all in this together. 800-522-5823, 575-5823. You can also pledge online
at supportkuaf.com. And you know what you can best afford. You best know how much you use KUAF and what our services are worth to you. If you can provide, you know, you can afford $10 a month, that's $120 a year.
That works out. It's a great way to break it up.
Absolutely. Or if, as Kyle mentioned, you know, this is a big tent kind of challenge. So if you can afford something more, say $1,000, you can be a part of our NPR society and give that as well. $10, $1,000, we are happy with anything.
That's right. It takes a couple of minutes, 800-522-5823, or online at supportkuaf.com. And thank you. And this is Ozarks at Large. Thousands of people have already voted early in the state of Arkansas. According to a release from the Arkansas Secretary of State, Mark Martin, more than 187,000 people have cast a vote early as of Saturday, including just over 16,000 votes cast early in Benton County, 9,300 in Washington County, just over 7,000 early votes in Sebastian County, and nearly 2,500 early votes in Crawford County. Governor Mike Beebe's proposed budget will be released in about 2.5 weeks. The governor says his priority is funding education for kindergarten through 12th grade.
Coming along nicely, we'll present proposals. I think it's the 15th of November, and we'll present a proposed budget. Now, you know, that's always subject to change as it gets modified and adjusted throughout the course of budget hearings during the session, but that's a good starting point, and that's what we'll present to him.
Governor Beebe says he'll also discuss an expected $400 million Medicaid shortfall at that time.
The city of Bentonville recently joined a short list of other Arkansas cities that have been deemed bicycle-friendly. The League of American Bicyclists awarded Bentonville a bronze designation as a bicycle-friendly community for encouragement of cycling in the community. David Wright, director of the city's Parks and Recreation Department, says the main thing Bentonville has done to help garner the designation is the development of the city's comprehensive trail program.
Currently, the city of Bentonville has 23.5 miles of hard surface paths. That's combined with what I call a side path, which is a trail adjacent to a road. And then we have some off-road trails as well, like the Crystal Bridges Trail or the North Bentonville Trail. And then we have about another 30 miles of share roads throughout the community, which are designated bikeways for cyclists to use that are on the roads. Now, they're not necessarily a designated bike lane, but there are share roads that are on the asphalt that says to the motorists to please share this road with the cyclist.
Wright says while the League of American Bicyclists didn't provide specific instruction for improving Bentonville's bicycle-friendly rating, more trail development would be necessary to improve the city's standing, primarily development of trails west of Walton Boulevard. Other bicycle-friendly communities in Arkansas include Fayetteville, Conway, and North Little Rock.
A large search is underway for a convicted murderer who escaped yesterday afternoon from Tucker Prison in Jefferson County. Shea Wilson, a spokeswoman for the Arkansas Department of Correction, says 33-year-old Curtis Reese Jr. and another inmate were able to slip out of the prison.
They managed to get in a water tank atop of an 18-wheeler and leave the prison compound. And they jumped from the top of that truck in a little community called Ferda, which is very near the prison.
The other inmate was captured a short time later, but Reese is still on the loose. Wilson says he is serving a 40-year sentence for first-degree murder. Reese is described as white with green eyes, about 5 feet 10 inches tall, and weighing about 170 pounds.
The season is over for the Arkansas soccer team. The Razorbacks lost to South Carolina 3-2 in overtime in the first round of the SEC tournament yesterday in Orange Beach, Alabama. Arkansas finished the 2012 season with a 9-10-1 record and won a school record of 6 SEC matches. Today, expect sunny skies with highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s. Tonight, expect clear conditions with lows ranging from 35 to 43. Tomorrow, we'll have sunny conditions with highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s. And tomorrow night, expect clear skies with lows in the 40s.
This is Ozarks at Large. Election Day is 1 week from today. Recently, 3 Arkansas state legislative candidates espousing extreme views made national news, raising the question if such rogue candidates should be more carefully vetted by their party. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has this report.
Arkansas is often caricatured as a culturally impoverished backwater. Still, Arkansans will tell you they are unfazed by such opinion, given the state's rich geographic, social, and economic landscape, the land of opportunity and all that. But very late in this roiling presidential election campaign season, Arkansas was once again shoved under an unfavorable light after state media reports picked up by national press and blogs exposed 3 Arkansas Republican legislative candidates expressing socially extreme views. Add to that 2 Democratic Arkansas U.S. congressional candidates, one who lied about his war record, and another arrested on a DWI charge. And the state appears to be plagued by bad political actors. So ought party leaders more closely vet or screen potential candidates? Mike Sivak is chairman of the Benton County Republican Party.
Well, that's a good question, and I think that is something that the party will have to deal with in the future. I do know that from a county perspective, we do get phone calls about candidates that are interested in running for these seats, you know, when the time comes for them to make that decision. You know, we encourage all that, you know, have good conservative values to make those decisions. We, in this county, do our best to see if we can get those folks maybe more interested on a local level. And some of them, you know, just, you know, they're not interested in those things. So, you know, they want to go into the House or the Senate. So, you know, in that case there, we generally have to forward them to the state party. But, you know, we do have a pretty good vetting process here in Benton County. A majority of folks that are in office now, if somebody calls us and says, hey, we're interested in running for this seat, you know, that we can call that elected official and say, hey, you know, so-and-so. And generally most of the time our elected officials here in Benton County will know of those names that are interested in running for those seats. And so, but I mean, as far as how we do this in the future, I think that is something that the party will be addressing in the years to come. And of course, we don't want to infringe on anybody's freedom of speech either.
And certain Arkansas candidates are strongly exercising their freedom of speech. Take former Republican state legislator Charlie Fuqua, who's running for a seat in House District 63, Batesville. His campaign site has posted excerpts from his recently published book titled God's Law, The Only Political Solution, calling for the expulsion of all Muslims from America and prescribing a biblical approach to punishing rebellious children, stoning. Then there's conservative incumbent Representative Loy Mock, District 26 Bismarck, who in published newspaper letters to the editor has offered a biblical rationalization for slavery in America, criticizing President Abraham Lincoln, calling him a depraved thug, comparing him to Adolf Hitler. And State Republican Representative John Hubbard, running for re-election in District 58 Jonesboro, has boldly posted on his campaign website excerpts from his 2009 book claiming that the enslavement of African Americans was a blessing in disguise, bringing them from a primitive nation to a prosperous and eventually free land. But he also says contemporary blacks feel entitled and are lazy. While no one from the Republican Party of Arkansas headquarters could be roused to comment for this report, Candace Martin, communications director for the Democratic Party of Arkansas, agreed to talk about this sensitive issue. She says the controversy is a step backward for the state.
Because then businesses see that, and they're afraid to locate in a state with backwards views. But the views of those three are not indicative of the views of the majority of Arkansans. And that is what we focus, continue to focus on with our candidates, is making sure that we're doing everything to show what a great state we live in and why companies should locate here to create jobs. And, you know, the proud leadership that we've had that has balanced our state budget and cut taxes and improved education and incomes for Arkansas families.
But Candace Martin says it's up to individual parties to vet candidates.
While some may just go with a strategy, which is just to recruit anybody who's willing to run, you know, we are focused on recruiting candidates and public servants who have a heart for continuing the progress that our state has made.
The state election code gives the Arkansas Secretary of State responsibility for advising candidates in conducting federal, state, and district elections. The Arkansas Ethics Commission conducts compliance and enforcement under Arkansas Standards of Conduct and Disclosure Laws concerning candidates. The Secretary of State and State Election Commission publish handbooks on how to run for federal, state, county, and municipal office with important filing dates, glossary of terms, filing fees, and qualifications. Convicted felons and the mentally incompetent need not apply. And all candidates must maintain a certain code of ethics. But ethics were clearly breached by now-defunct Democratic 3rd District congressional candidate Ken Aden, who dropped out in July after admitting to exaggerating his military record. Then, this summer, Democratic U.S. Congressional District 2 candidate Herb Rule was arrested in Fayetteville for driving under the influence. He's contesting the charge. Jay Barth, a professor of politics at Hendricks College in Conway, says if this were a midterm election, the controversy would loom much larger.
But I do think those who are paying some attention, it clearly does highlight some of the most intensive kind of race-based rhetoric that I think we've seen in Arkansas really since the Civil Rights era. We've really, you know, as a state, I think, gained something of a moderate reputation, you know, the arguments about whether that's deserved or not. But you know, these statements really do seem fairly out of the mainstream, not just nationally, but for Arkansas as well.
Still, the sensationalized news about Hubbard, Mock, and Fuqua, which emerged late in this presidential election campaign, caught many off guard.
Well, what was surprising is that the Republican Party wasn't more prepared for it. I mean, these statements, these writings are nothing new. I mean, they've been out there. And, you know, political parties not only research their opponents, but they also research themselves and their own candidates and get ready for the inevitable attacks. And that was what was most striking, is that the Republican Party obviously just wasn't fully prepared for what was sitting right in the open, these pretty outlandish writings by all three of these gentlemen. And I do think that it shows that while the Republican Party has really gained a lot of success compared to its traditional status in Arkansas, it still is organizationally maturing and doesn't yet have all the pieces in place that you know, is typical for a political party.
State PACs, parties, and politicians routinely funnel money into local campaigns. According to campaign contribution and expenditure records filed with the Arkansas Secretary of State through last month, the Republican House Caucus Leadership PAC, Congressman Steve Womack, and Tim Griffin's campaigns, as well as Jim Bob Duggar of Springdale, all contributed to Charlie Fuqua's legislative run. Incumbent John Hubbard's run for office has been heavily supported by at least a half dozen GOP state legislators, several conservative state PACs, as well as the Koch brothers. State Representative Loy Mock has also raised thousands of dollars, thanks in part to Congressman Womack and Griffin. Dillard's corporate office and the conservative group Secure Arkansas Walmart heir Jim Walton, the Arkansas Times reported late last week, initially supported Mock's run, but has asked for his money back. Doyle Webb, chairman of the Republican Party of Arkansas, has gone on record saying the party would no longer contribute to any of the three candidates' campaigns, characterizing the remarks as offensive and not the party's views. Professor Jay Barth says this is one way rogue candidates are screened out by their peers.
Many of these candidates, Mr. Hubbard and Mr. Mock in particular, you know, they really kind of came out of nowhere in the big Republican tide of 2010. And, you know, the better thing would have been to have really tried to find a way to rid the party of those candidates so that they weren't a potential albatross to the entire party.
An albatross, according to the dictionary, is either a big white shorebird or something that causes persistent deep concern or anxiety, or something that greatly hinders accomplishment. But even a trio of albatrosses exposed this election in Arkansas will not hinder the current shift from what political scientist Jay Barth refers to as the end of two generations of pragmatic progressivism. The big reveal, of course, will take place November 6th. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Ace Winnecker-Hayda.
And it's about 25 minutes afternoon. This is the next to last day of the KUAF on-air fundraiser.
The penultimate day.
Exactly, penultimate day. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge your financial support online.
At supportkuaf.com.
We are grateful for every dollar of financial support that we receive from you and other KUAF listeners. What we have learned is that not everybody prefers to make a financial contribution in the same way. Some people like to give during a pledge drive like this. Mm-hmm. They wait for it. They anticipate it, and they make a call or they go online. Some of you send donations through the mail on a regular basis. Many people before the on-air portion of the fall fundraiser sent money in early by check.
Yes, they did.
Some of you prefer to pay in one lump sum. Others want to break it up over installments. Some prefer a monthly electronic transfer from the checking account. We even have folks who remember KUAF in their wills. We appreciate each and every one of these generous gifts. We want the process to be as easy and convenient for you as possible. So decide how much you'd like to donate and how you'd like to pay for your contribution. Then you can call us at 575-5823, 800-522-5823, or online at supportkuaf.com, and then let us know your decision.
Absolutely. And a reminder that we do have a challenge that we're working on. We have a $1,500 challenge that has been issued by Charles Wilkins and Ingrid Fritch of Fayetteville. Thank you to them. This is a new member challenge. That means if you have never given to KUAF before, now would be a perfect time to do so because you will essentially be doubling your contribution. We need to collect up to $1,500, and Charles and Ingrid will match that, and this will be worth $3,000 for us. So if you have yet to contribute, now would be a fantastic time. You can do so by calling 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF. Or you can pledge online anytime at supportkuaf.com.
The reason we spend a few days every fall reminding you that we would like to hear from you financially with your financial contribution is because the largest part of the budget comes from you, listeners just like you. We think that the people who use KUAF, the people who listen to KUAF, should be the people who pay for most of KUAF, and that is how it has worked for 28 plus years. It's how we intend for it to continue to work. And for that system to be operational, we need to hear from you if we haven't yet. Thanks to the many, many people who have already called in, pledged online, sent in contributions beforehand, the sustaining members who give throughout the year. We appreciate everybody, but there are some of you who haven't had the chance yet but have the ability to do so, and this is the next to last day, so we'd like to hear from you now. 800-522-5823, 575-5823, or online at supportkuaf.com.
Now, most of us go through the exercise of tightening our budgets from time to time. Some people decide what to live without based more on its cost than its value. But when it comes to deciding whether to give to KUAF this year, we encourage you to consider both cost and value. The cost is easy because you set the amount of your gift. The value is pretty easy, too. Just add up the hours you listen every week. For many listeners, that's 10, 12, or even 14 hours a week. That's 5, 6, or 700 hours a year. It's a lot of time.
It is.
It's a lot of time. So when you consider the amount you can afford to give in relation to how often you listen, KUAF is a great value.
I think so.
I think so. So we ask that you, if you value KUAF and you can afford to do so, that you please make your contribution today. You can go online to supportkuaf.com, or you can call our phone volunteers at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF, and you can pledge your support there.
The decision to pledge is completely left up to you, of course. You could listen and not pledge. You can decide that your listening habit is worth supporting in the amount of your choice and give us a call, 800-522-5823 or online, supportkuaf.com. Speaking of our phone volunteers,
yes.
Thank you to BHK Cafe.
Yes,
on
they
the square
us lunch
in Fayetteville.
Today.
Yes. And so made sure that our volunteers have something to eat. And also thanks to the other restaurants that include Penguin Ed, Spring Street Grill, Hugo's, Ozark Natural Foods, just to name some. Aban Pan provided breakfast this morning. Many people, Little Bread Company, many restaurants making sure this fundraiser goes well. We appreciate their efforts.
Absolutely. Thank you to everyone who has helped us over the past several days with this fundraiser through volunteering of their time or bringing us food, or the people that, of course, have given their financial pledges of support. If you would like to do so, you can do so now at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge online at supportkuaf.com.
And thank you very much.
During
during the holiday season, it's not uncommon for the stages of local theaters to be crowded by little cherubims sporting crooked halos or even a familiar curmudgeon who wanders through his memories with some friendly as well as some not-so-friendly ghosts. But before we get to December and all of that, the month of November has plenty to offer in the way of live theater. One such show is Snoopy the Musical, which will take to the stage at the Van Buren School District Fine Arts Center November 2nd. The following week, Fort Smith Little Theater will present Little Women, Meg, Jo, Beth, and Amy. That same week, the University of Arkansas will mount its production of Noel Coward's comedy, Blythe's Spirit. Arts Life Theater will bring a Disney classic to life November 15th, when the company's talented young actors present Beauty and the Beast, Jr. Oftentimes, you may think of New York or Chicago as the sites for play premieres, but in November, you will not have to travel so far to see one, because Northwest Arkansas will host its very own world premiere. On November 2nd, Orrin Softy, the son of Crystal Bridges Museum of American Arts architect Moshe Softy, will premiere his new play, Checks and Balances, at Rogers Little Theater. When Orrin stopped by the studio last week to talk to Kyle and I, we asked him how it's possible to succinctly describe a play that addresses so many issues.
That's very hard. You sort of touch on all the issues that the play touches on itself, but it basically starts from a story, and I don't think of these things as I'm writing it. They just sort of, you know, you have to put it into a press release, so these are the things they touch on. But they actually do touch on these things in this play in I think, a substantial way. But the base of it is about a woman who's elderly. She's a little distant from her own family. She has a caretaker who's been with her for 20 years who is illegal. And so on that level, it does question the what is family? Is it blood relative that is more family, or somebody who's been living with you for a long time? There's also a character who's a Russian accountant who's come to this country legally, who lined up outside the American consulate for 3 years. And so his view of the caretaker is a little different because he had to go through the proper channels. So on that level, it does probably touch on immigration. Money, it's probably the central issue in this play. It deals with a wealthy woman who's losing her memory and the temptations of all those people around her who are probably pretty good people. But, you know, the money issue gets the best of them, or we'll see.
Well, what was your inspiration for this play? Because, like we discussed, it covers a lot of issues. So where do you even begin?
Well, I start with most of my plays. They come from a real place or a real situation. And when I was at Columbia, New York, I did many odd jobs. And I think they've led to two or three plays right now. But this one, I was working for a woman who was quite a wealthy woman who lived on Central Park West. She was in her 90s. She pretty much had all her faculties, but her memory was slipping. And so one couldn't always tell if it was on purpose, just sort of to keep everybody off balance, or if it was something real. And so that was the inspiration. All the characters sort of derive from that situation. And then you take it in a direction that hopefully you don't know when you set out to write it. I try and not know where it's going, although I might have a last image or a last line or something. But that's sort of the joy of writing. If I know where it's going, then I think I'm usually off base.
Are you ever surprised by where it goes?
Hopefully always, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, the character that's based on me takes a real surprise and makes me sort of look at myself differently.
You've had plays that have been prepared and opened on both coasts.
Yes.
This is in Rogers, in Northwest Arkansas. What was attractive about here?
Well, it all came about by accident. I mean, I came here for the opening of Crystal Bridges of my father's museum. And usually before I go to any city or town, I check out the theaters that are there. And, you know, part of being a playwright is being a salesman, a large part of it, which I don't think people realize. And so I contact the theaters, like to meet with them. And within 2 weeks that I contacted Rogers Little Theater, Ed McClure got back to me, and we were arranging a reading of one of my more established plays that had to do with architecture. So it was called Private Jokes, Public Places, and that ran off Broadway. But it sort of played in with the whole opening of, I guess, Crystal Bridges. And so they did the reading, and I was very impressed with the theater. I felt there was a lot of sophistication to the audience. They actually got my humor, which is always encouraging for a playwright. And there was a wonderful energy, I mean, just with the opening. And I felt there's something, I mean, in some ways, you know, you could say this is the next frontier here, because California's all, it's kind of done all the way up, and New York. So where is the new frontier? And you feel like there's something developing here. The arts community is very enthusiastic, and we were talking, and he said, "Well, you know, we've always done plays that have already been produced either in New York." And he said, "Do you have anything new?" And I said, "Well, actually, there's a play, Checks and Balances, which I'm planning to take to New York, but I always like to test out a play somewhere else before I face the knives up there." So. It came together, and, you know, they've been a community theater for many years now, and I think they do very good work. I saw the production of Oliver, actually. And it just seemed that I said, you know, I would really like that this would be a professional production, because if I'm going to put my play out there. So they went to great lengths to, when we couldn't find the actors here for certain roles, we went to New York. We cast out of New York and Los Angeles. And so as a result, the cast is three actors from New York and two actors locally, to round out the cast of five. It's an equity production, yes.
When that's got to be great when someone at a theater says, "Do you have anything new?" Playwrights have to love that question.
Sure, definitely. You know, I mean, I have a home in New York, which has always been great, which is La Mama, which is on the Lower East Side, where I've had a lot of my plays. And for a while, I was the artistic director of a theater in Malibu, the Malibu Stage Company, where I would always launch my plays. But I resigned from that theater because they were interested in going in a direction of doing more the plays that had already been produced, Pulitzer Prize-winning plays. And my interest really is in new plays, because I feel like they really kind of address issues of the day. And there's the excitement of opening a new play, which I don't think is equaled when you produce a play that you're measuring up against another production. What traditionally happens now is a play opens in New York, and if it does well, all the regional theaters around the United States bring it in. But they're, in some ways, their production is always being measured against that. This has no measure. So I think it's exciting and a little scary, and we'll see what happens.
So how much work goes into putting on a premiere? I mean, you're here. I mean, we've had people come in whose plays are being produced here, and they'll show up for like a night or two or a weekend. But you're here. So how long have you been here, and how much legwork have you had to do?
Well, I had to do a little bit. We had to cast, and I'm actually co-directing this with somebody else named Fritz Michel, who's in New York. He hasn't been here, but the first week, the three actors in New York rehearsed there to reduce the costs of bringing them here, and we've been now in rehearsals for 2 weeks. I came out here originally to hold auditions. So, you know, 4 or 5 weeks before the production, you pretty much get into it. But then once it opens, my job's over. So that's, I don't have to stay here after that.
What is it like co-directing? I'm not sure I've gotten to speak to someone who's had to do that before. I mean, it seems like you're going to have a balance of compromise seems
yes,
key.
Yes. I think with Fritz, I've been working on this production through readings through couple of years, because I started this play earlier and it's gone through some rewrites. So he was very close to the play, and it's not a usual situation, but in this situation, he was in New York and had to rehearse the first week, and he's coming out here the last week. And except for, you know, sometimes confusing the actors with completely different direction, it works.
Is that all?
You have your MFA from Columbia.
Yes.
In creative writing. You also have, from Columbia, a degree in architecture.
Yes, that was my original degree.
Architecture, you create something out of a first idea.
Yes.
A script is the same. Are there similarities?
There are similarities, and it's something that I've been asked about. And I always sort of said yes, and the similarities are like this. But lately I've been thinking there's also the opposite. Because architecture, you're very much building up from a foundation, a building. And I always feel with playwriting, in the actual writing process, I'm stripping away everything down, like a sculptor who gets a piece of marble, chiseling away until you finally get that piece that you want. So building up, breaking down. But there is, I guess, the similarity in that you're working with a team. And anything, anywhere, it's like that also in film, but I think in theater, one misstep from any of these kind of things that you're bringing together can sort of make the final solution compromised. So it's important to always, you know, work with actors that you feel that really represent your work. And sometimes it happens and everything comes together. Other times it doesn't and the work suffers. And I think people don't realize sometimes that plays really hang on the balance. Like you wonder, you know, you go to you read a review of a play and the critics completely are scathing of it. And you wonder, how could they even not see it? And how did they put it up? But the truth is, when you get into it, the line is so fine between success and failure, because it can either go in the right way or something goes wrong. And you, until opening night, you really don't know.
Oren Softee stopped by the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio last week to discuss his new play, Checks and Balances, which will premiere at Rogers Little Theater Friday night. A world premiere gala is planned for that evening, and additional performances are scheduled for November 3rd and 4th and November 8th through the 11th. More information is available at rogerslittletheater.org.
It is Tuesday, October 30th, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And with us on the phone is Becca Martin-Brown. She's features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. How are you on this Tuesday?
If I don't get back into the studio pretty quick, people will think I broke a leg or something. And I didn't. I'm fine. Fine. Three choices for tonight.
All right.
The Fulbright Trio performs at 7 o'clock at the Shoemaker Center for Workforce Technologies at NWAC in Bentonville.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
And it's free.
Yes.
Hmm.
Shrek opens tonight at 7 at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville.
Yes.
Directed by Fayetteville native Jason Ward, it's a musical version of your favorite ogre and his princess.
Mm-hmm.
And tickets start at $39.
Right.
And the UAFS Symphonic Band performs at 7:30 at the Arkansas Best Performing Arts Center in Fort Smith. Just $6.
Got your things all up and down I-540 there.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And this is the next to last day for the on-air fundraiser for KUAF for fall 2012.
Mm-hmm. So if you have been waiting to make your contribution, now might be the perfect time. You can call us at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF. If you happen to be listening to us online, you can pledge there at supportkuaf.com, or if you're using your app on your smartphone to listen to us, you can also pledge there as well.
800-522-5823, supportkuaf.com. I bet you listen to public radio because you like to stay informed, whether it's an upcoming world premiere at Rogers Little Theater, whether it is a preview of a free concert on the University of Arkansas campus tomorrow night, or it's about the elections that take place a week from today. You like to be informed. And I bet you listen because KUAF is unique. We take the time to provide an in-depth look at issues and culture. We tell stories. We put human faces on what we talk about. And we try to use sound in a compelling way. We are not driven by ratings. That's because we're supported by listeners like you. Only with your support are we able to provide this unique news service that you've come to rely on. 575-5823, 800-522-5823, or online at supportkuaf.com.
We want to thank a couple of those listeners who have supported us today. Thank you to Jesse Cope in Rogers.
Thank you, Jesse.
And thank you to Tom and Kaylin Wilkerson in Fayetteville. They say hi to Kyle.
Hello, well, hello,
Kyle.
Tom. Hello, Kaylin. Thank you very much.
Thank you to everyone who has contributed. And if you are, you could potentially be a new member. This would be your first time giving to KUAF. A little added incentive for you. We have a $1,500 challenge issued by Charles Wilkins and Ingrid Fritsch of Fayetteville. The way that a challenge works is we need to collect up to $1,500 from new listeners, new members, and Charles and Ingrid will match that $1,500. So this challenge will be worth $3,000 to us, helping us get that much closer to our goal.
And as of now, this looks like it is the last challenge. It's the last one we have.
Yes, unless another one comes in.
Right. But so if you have been enticed, if you've been meaning to join for some time, maybe the length of this on-air fundraiser, maybe the length of several,
right,
and you have not done so. And again, it's the amount of your choosing. So if you can give, as a brand new contributor, up to $1,500, it will be doubled. If you've contributed before, but it's been a while, we would also welcome you to contribute now at 800-522-5823. Or 575-5823, online as well at supportkuaf.com.
It takes only a couple of minutes. Any questions you have can be answered by our phone volunteers. Your questions can also be answered online at supportkuaf.com. Again, the numbers 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF or online at supportkuaf.com. And thank you.
And this is Ozarks at Large. Yesterday, Ozarks at Large's Katie Hendrickson welcomed three guests to the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
Hello, my name is Tony Salar-Verdú. I'm a bass home and a clarinet player. We do early music, so we play with original instruments, and that's what we're going to do here in Fayetteville.
Yeah, I'm Marie Ross. I'm originally from Arkansas, and our group is called La Vera Costanza. We play an basset horn trio with historical instruments, so we're playing an all-Mozart program with instruments that Mozart would have heard.
And I'm Philippe Castejon. I'm come originally from France and play with La Vera Costanza since a few years already. I enjoy it.
Tony, Marie, and Philip are La Vera Costanza, and the trio is based in Cologne, Germany, a city that some say is the European capital of early music. The ensemble has been together since 2009, and they'll perform tomorrow night at 7:30 inside the Stella Boyle Smith Concert Hall on the University of Arkansas campus. Yesterday, Katie asked the musicians about their instrument of choice, the basset horn, a bent ancestor of the clarinet.
The basset horn is a very special instrument. It's the lowest of the classical clarinets from the classical period, and it has a range of four octaves, which makes it capable of playing three equal instruments in a trio.
We have three voices, so I play the high one, who is the could be like a violin part. Philip plays the middle one, like a viola, and Marie plays the low one, who is the cello, so we can almost play like a string trio.
Yeah, exactly, but with one instrument. Yeah.
And why were you guys drawn to the basset horn?
The basset horn, it has a very special sound, and Mozart used it a lot in his music, and he used it in the Mozart Requiem. You might have heard that piece, and it also has a lot of Masonic symbolism. So it was the favorite instrument of the Freemasons, which was a secret society back then. And Mozart was a Freemason, and Mozart's favorite clarinetist, Anton Stadler, also a Freemason. And the instrument maker who built these instruments was also a Freemason. And so whenever Mozart's writing a piece with Masonic symbols, like the magic flute you might know about, who has a lot of Masonic themes, he uses basset horns in that piece. He also wrote a Masonic cantata that uses a trio of basset horns. And it's very interesting because it has a bend in it, which is exactly 120 degrees, which is very symbolic to them, because if you think 120 is an inverse of 60, so it creates, there's a lot of hidden angles in the basset horn. And actually that was necessary because it can't be a straight clarinet, because it's too big, actually, to make this huge range. It's too big, so it has a bend in the middle, so you're able to hold it.
Do you have an idea why it's such the Masons had such a strong inclining to liking that instrument specifically?
This instrument? Do you have any ideas?
I guess it's because the form.
Yeah, the form was very interesting to them. And also, you're able to play trios, and three was very symbolic to them. They used three a lot. And, yeah, they like the sound. It's a very unusual sound. And at the time, it was also a very unusual instrument to be able to play because it was expensive, and there weren't many players who had it, so it sort of went along with this secrecy of the Freemasons.
What instruments do you play? Have you guys played other than the basset horn?
Well, we are specialized on period instrument, period clarinets. Then we play clarinets from the Baroque time to the late Romantic time. It means really many different kind of clarinets, and yeah.
Yeah, and even a little bit beyond. I mean, if there's the instruments are very relevant to us, if the music will sound different on the instruments from the time, so people are even playing up to Stravinsky on the original instruments that they would have used. So we have to switch back and forth all the time. Maybe one day you'll play Vivaldi or Haydn or something, and then the next day you're playing Richard Strauss or Wagner. And yeah, so it's an interesting experience.
Well, great. Let's go ahead and we'll get your instruments out, and we'll be able to hear some music from you guys.
Yeah, great.
Yes.
You guys are ready?
Yep.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and just what piece is this that you're playing right now?
This is the Allegro, the first movement from Divertimento No. 1 by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Thank you.
Thank you.
you.
Thank you.
The Early Music Ensemble, La Vera Costanza, inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio yesterday afternoon with Ozarks at Large's Katie Hendrickson. They'll perform tomorrow night at 7:30 inside the Stella Boyle Smith Concert Hall on the University of Arkansas campus. You can learn more about the trio at laveracostanza.com.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Papa, Oklahoma.
Papa, Oklahoma?
Yep.
Where is, you're very proud of this one. Where is,
yes,
Papa, Oklahoma?
It is west of Fort Smith.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Huh. Never heard of Papa, Oklahoma.
There you go.
Like
that
it.
Is my goal, to teach you the new towns.
I like that. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. The phone numbers you can use to call our phone volunteers.
Yes, and we would like to thank the lovely and talented Kate Oxford, who is answering phones for us this afternoon.
We appreciate her efforts and everybody else who has come in and answered phones for us. And, of course, everyone who has contributed online and called in. 800-522-5823, 575-5823. If you've never called in before, you can do so as a first-time contributor and have your first-ever contribution matched up to $1,500, thanks to Charles Wilkins and Ingrid Fritsch, who have made a $1,500 new contributor challenge. So when we meet that, when we get $1,500 combined from new contributors, it's worth $3,000 to KUAF. Thank you so much, Charles and Ingrid.
Thank you very much.
You know, we just heard a performance in the Furman Garner studio.
Yes.
The Basset Hound. Or not Basset. The Basset Hound.
No.
The Basset Horn.
Yes, Horn.
The Basset Horn. One more instrument we can put on our list that has
right.
been played inside Furman Garner Performance Studio.
I need to find this list.
I have the list actually on my desk.
Okay, I knew it was around.
In the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. And it includes bagpipes. It includes castanets and violin, fiddle. There are
drums,
several. Drums, you bet.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things in this new studio, it's almost 3 years old now, that
wow.
we've been able to do. We love having live music in Furman Garner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things we like to do on Ozarks at Large mm-hmm. that makes us a little bit different, perhaps, from any other radio show you're going to hear during the day.
Absolutely, because we can bring you local music as well as some traveling musicians from time to time when they have time to stop by. One of my favorite interviews, I think, this year, yes, Time for Three, the classical ensemble from Northeast, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing at the Walton Arts.
From Philadelphia.
Yes, thank you. From Walton Arts. They were playing at the Walton Arts Center, and they had time to stop by. They were in town a couple of days. They did some outreach at local schools before their performance, and those three gentlemen were lovely to have in. So, you know, traveling musicians as well as the local ones, we like to have people in when they have a new CD release and things like that. But I think we're very fortunate that we have this awesome space to have that. And hopefully bring you something a little different.
If you appreciate our attempt to bring you something different every day from noon until 1 and then again 7 until 8 at night, as well as 9 a.m. Sunday mornings, please understand that Ozarks at Large, just like All Things Considered, Morning Edition, and Talk of the Nation, is here because of your financial support. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823.
Or online at supportkuaf.com.
And you decide the amount, you decide the value. And when you pledge, whether it's on the phone or online, you can tell us what you think of the station and
Absolutely.
What you like and what you'd like to hear.
Comments, suggestions.
Exactly. There's a big box on the online form.
Mm-hmm.
And many people have been writing, and we read every one of those.
Yes.
I promise you that. 800-522-5823 or online at 575-5823. No, online is
supportkuaf.com.
That's right.
Kyle needs some sleep.
Yes, maybe so. Let's see. It's going to be clear tonight. Lows will be from the mid to upper 30s in northwest Arkansas to mid 40s for the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, sunny. Highs from 68 to 73. Trick-or-treat weather will be clear with lows in the mid 40s. That sounds like a perfect trick-or-treat
forecast.
That
sounds really good.
Yeah.
Can I go trick-or-treating?
You can try.
Is this one of those things where I have to borrow a kid to do it?
Maybe. You know, I grew up in a very small town, and I never went trick-or-treating.
You never went trick-or-treating?
It was a small town. I mean, and
oh,
there
so
were,
they're just, it was like there really weren't any neighbors.
Right. There were no real neighborhoods.
Oh.
So we would have a festival at the school or whatever, but I never
sure.
had any experience. Anyway. 800-522-5823. You can make it up to me right now by contributing to KUAF. How's that? You can contribute online at supportkuaf.com or call 800-522-5823. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
We will be here again tomorrow.
Halloween!
With a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large from the Richard B. Atkinson Studio. That's tomorrow at noon on KUAF. Thanks everyone for calling in so far. And we do appreciate it. It's 1 o'clock.